Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is drawn especially from the epistle lesson from Galatians chapters 4 and 5. Please recall these verses. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Thus our text. Our epistle lessons for the last several weeks have been taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And this epistle, like most of Paul's letters, deal with a problem. And it's good for us to remember that. That as the book of Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. That problems that plagued the Galatians 2,000 years ago still plague the church today to a more greater or less extent. Satan is smart, but his bag of tricks is the same it's always been. Today, for the sake of undermining Satan and keeping the clarity of the gospel clear, Paul clarifies two questions and even gives some illustrations appropriate for Father's Day in order to address the following issues. First, how is it that people become sons of God? Is it by the law or something else? And second, what does it even mean to be a son of God? The way that people become sons and daughters of God is by faith. Faith in God's word, by nothing else. The fact that the God of the universe, the Almighty, who set the stars in their place, raised up mountains and lowered valleys, who said to the sea, "This far you shall go and no farther," who created breath and life and in whom everything has their being, this God is no mute. He has spoken and still speaks to his children today. Not in the sunset or in a rainbow, like some effeminate greeting card might say, but in words. There is no greater respect a father can receive than that his words are heard by his son. That his son takes his words to heart and cherishes them. Solomon writes to his own son in Proverbs 3, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." It is the same with God our Father. He wants us to hear his words, not as take it or leave it advice, but as wisdom, from one who knows and cares about us. Sometimes that word is hard to understand when we hear it, but the obedience of faith is that we trust the words because we trust where they come from, the person who spoke them. Now there are two kinds of words that come from a loving father: commands and promises. So Solomon says to his son, "Keep my commandments." That itself is a command. And he attaches a promise to it. "Keep my commandments, and length of days and peace and life will be added to you." That's a promise. So too, the fourth commandment, "Honor your father and your mother." Paul says it is the first commandment given with a promise. "Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Commands and promises are the gift of a loving father to his son. And by a loving son, they are received as his bread and butter. The way we become sons and daughters of God is by faith. That is, by believing his commands and his promises. And these commands and promises are not mysterious or open to interpretation. God has spoken clearly in the Scriptures. 2 Timothy says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." It is the Scriptures, the Word of God, that raises you up in wisdom and knowledge of His Son. And it is how, by baptism through faith, you are adopted as His own. But someone might say, "I've read the Bible. I've read God's commands there. And He commands that if I sin, I should offer a goat for a sin offering, and that I should circumcise the foreskin of my flesh. He says that pigs are unclean, and so I shouldn't eat bacon. He says that every Saturday I must refrain from any kind of work. He says that if a woman is caught in adultery, or if a child is disobedient, or if a man blasphemes the name of God, we should stone him to death." And he promises in his word that if we obey these things, we will be a holy nation, set apart from the rest of the pagan world and Gentile sinners. He promised that if we keep these commands, we will be His people and He will be our God. Looks like we better polish our stones and grow our phylacteries long, or not. Because these commands that I mentioned to you, they are commands from God in the Holy Scriptures, it's true. They're called the Mosaic Law, the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And 10 of these commandments were carved in stone by the finger of the Almighty God Himself. But there were in total some 613 commandments and observances, like the ones I listed to you. And of this law of Moses, St. Paul has this to say to the Galatians: "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." When you were a minor, maybe you still are, but when you were a minor, your parents told you where to go, what to wear, when to eat, who you could and could not be friends with. These were laws from your parents, but they were penultimate. I don't imagine you observed the same bedtime that your parents commanded in your youth. They were given to guard you until you reached the age of majority, when, having acquired the wisdom of your parents, you no longer are in need of such arbitrary safeguards, but are able to walk in the precepts of your father, not according to the letter, but according to the spirit of his teaching. Now, sometimes it's true, children never grow up. And I'd say today this is more common than ever, because parents are taught by the culture today to let their children raise themselves. By that I mean the parent's job is simply to make the child comfortable and as happy as possible, to feed and to clothe them and tell them they're special until they're out of the house. And that exhausts what it means to raise a kid today. How is the child to learn right from wrong? Well, the child will learn from his own heart right from wrong, good from evil, wisdom from folly. By following his own heart, he will eventually self-actualize, blossom, and self-identify. Dear friends in Christ, the baby boomers have raised a generation of adult children who jump on whatever occupational hamster wheel will give them the most money for the least amount of effort, so they can use their free time to self-actualize in whatever way they find satisfaction. A generation that figures, since marriage is a lifelong commitment, I better test the waters, date for years, and not commit until I've found someone I can stand to be around. Or even worse, they do the most reasonable thing for the ethic of happiness at all costs. Those who are raised to care first about their own happiness, the smartest of that bunch, know to follow that logic to its most logical conclusion. And what's that? They find drugs that give instant bliss, a bliss that slowly melts their brains into lifelong infancy and dependency on guardians, be it parents or literally prison guards. Selfish ambition and perpetual guardianship. That's adulthood for those who are not raised in the fear and instruction of their Heavenly Father. Or, as happened in Galatia, the freedom found in Christ means that instead of the law as a guardian, you are given His Spirit. And by His Spirit, you are called to the insurmountable task of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Having been given this Spirit, you are sanctified in order to keep the perfect law, the ultimate law, a life of utter self-sacrifice for your neighbor. That's why you get married before you test the waters, because marriage is supposed to be about sacrifice and change for another person. That's why you have children, because your life is to be an offering for someone else. You, dear friends in Christ, have not been given a legal code, but a new commandment. Love one another as Christ has loved you, and you have been given the Spirit of God's Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And having been given the perfect law of love, of self-sacrifice for your neighbor, you will fail to keep it perfectly. You will fail to keep that law. And that's why you have been given the promise, not of perfection, but of forgiveness. So that when you go forth, having received the Spirit in your baptism, sanctified and set apart for a life of perfect service, you know you will fall short, but you will not be condemned. You will not always love God with your whole heart. You will not always love your neighbor as yourself. And if Christ had not died for your sins and been raised for your justification, your failure would be your doom. But because He has promised you forgiveness, you always have a way of escape. And so every day you should remember the Ten Commandments, and where you have failed, you should pray. And you should confess your sins to God and be assured of His forgiveness. And every Lord's Day, you come to lay your sins before the altar of God and receive His life-giving body and blood, a spiritual food for the forgiveness of your sins and to strengthen you in the faith unto life everlasting. But when you grow up, do you know what you realize sometimes? Boy, I wish I were still a kid. I wish that I had someone to dress me and feed me and raise kids for me. I saw a meme on Facebook last night that said, going to bed early, not leaving my house, not going to a party, my childhood punishments have become my adult goals. It's hard being an adult and trying to do it right. So rather than live according to the Spirit and trust in the forgiveness of sins, we always seek another guardian. We find new laws to live by, because by them we think we can control our failures and attain a reachable perfection for ourselves apart from the perfection Christ has already won for us on the cross and attributed to us by faith. So the Galatians, rather than live in the Spirit and in the free forgiveness of sins, they were persuaded to return to the Mosaic code of Sabbaths and moons and circumcision. Why? Because, friends, these things are doable. They're doable. Loving your neighbor, it's easy enough for a while and in emergencies, but to love your neighbor every moment of every day, that's like trying to hold a bench press at mid-rep forever. Sooner or later, your arms are going to fail. But if all you have to do is 10 reps, then drop it, well, that's doable, isn't it? Especially if you set the weight right. So if all I have to do is a checklist of outward observances, even 613 of them, not eat pork and get circumcised, we can say we did them and we can find our righteousness in them. And so a return to the law is a return to, as St. Paul says, the elementary principles of the world. And though it's not too vogue to try and find your righteousness in the Mosaic law today, there are plenty of other ways to leave Christ at the cross and seek your righteousness. For instance, self-improvement, that is self-help books, fitness and dieting tips, etc., represents a $10 billion per year industry, $10 billion per year in the U.S. alone. I don't have figures for Canada, but I'm sure the ratio is comparable. $10 billion a year. And self-help is addicting, in that the most likely purchaser of a self-help book is the same person who purchased one already in the last 18 months. As Paul says of today's self-help groupies, they are always seeking and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Searching science or statistics or case studies to show which dietary or life habits will lead to the happiest life now, that is the new law, the new guardian, while the Bible, the life-giving Word of God, collects dust on our shelves. Anyone serious about righteousness is always tempted to find it in the law in some way, shape, or form. So, dear friends in Christ, repent and remember this. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Length of life, not through your own cleverly devised laws, but through the grace of God in Christ Jesus, your length of days will be eternal. And peace is yours even now, for you are freely adopted as sons and daughters of the Father, and the inheritance is yours. Only don't use your freedom to return to slavery of the elementary principles of this world, for you have the promised Spirit poured out from Christ to you in your baptism. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.